Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 21st, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us each day. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to continue our study. As we look around us, we can see clearly the events that are taking place, and we know that this is what you have warned us concerning. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength that is necessary, so that we might walk according to your will and be obedient in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject today is entitled American Theocracy. American Theocracy. And we want to take a look at some of the things that are happening in our world today, but especially those that are happening in the United States of America. Remember, we have been warned concerning all of the changes. And there is one text in particular that we continue to refer to. And that is Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 11, where the United States of America ceases to be a Protestant nation, ceases to be a Republican nation. And of course, by Republican, we've told you the definition before. Not a Republican Party, but a Republican nation. The definition of a Republican nation is a republic is a nation in which the will of the majority is respected while the rights of the minority are protected. And of course, it is obvious that God has been warning us about the change that will happen. These two horns, Protestantism and Republicanism, will go away and the nation will begin to speak as a dragon. The dragonic speech is authoritarian. It is dictatorial. It is the kind of theocracy that those who want to turn this nation and the rest of the world into a Christian nation will ultimately aim at. And so today, I want to share with you an article from BruceGorleys.com website entitled American Theocracy. Who is trying to turn America into a theocracy? The title of the article again, American Theocracy. Who is trying to turn America into a theocracy? The writer of the article is Bruce Gorley, and you'll find it on his website. Now, he opens up the article with three individuals. The first quote is from Randall Terry, who is the founder of Operation Rescue. And the quote is found in the New Sentinel, published back in 1993. Here's what Randall Terry says. I want you to just let a wave of intolerance wash over you. I want you to let a wave of hatred wash over you. Yes, hate is good. Our goal is a Christian nation. We have a biblical duty. We're called on by God to conquer this country. We don't want equal time. We don't want pluralism. That's Randall Terry, founder of Operation Rescue. And he's quoted in the New Sentinel in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in 1993. That would be August the 16th, 1993. There's another quote here that he starts out his article with. Gary North is quoted in Albert Menendez's Vision of Reality, in one of his books in 1993 also. Here's what Gary North is quoted as saying. So let us be blunt about it. We must use the doctrine of religious liberty to gain independence from Christian schools until we train up a generation of people who know that there is no religious neutrality, no neutral law, no neutral education, and no neutral civil government. Then they will get busy in constructing a Bible-based social, political, and religious order, which finally denies the religious liberty of the enemies of God. Now that's Gary North. Incidentally, Gary North happens to be Rush Dooney's son-in-law. And Rush Dooney is one of the authors that really projects the concept of dominionism across the entire world. Of course, if you missed some of our daily briefings, Let me just give you the definition of what a dominionist is. These are Christians who believe that God has given them dominion over the rest of the world. It is their responsibility to take control for God. And they use Genesis chapter 1, you know, in which God says to Adam and Eve, I've given you dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and all of the creeping things. Well, they have extended it beyond fish and fowl and creeping things to mean that God has given them dominion over every single human being on the planet. And Gary North is one of the men who pushed that agenda. Now, in order to do that, they are aiming to turn the United States of America into a theocracy. One more quote that Bruce Gourley has used in the opening of his article. It's taken from The Changing of the Guard, Biblical Principles for Political Action by George Grant. And, of course, this was published in 1987. Here's what he says here. Christians have an obligation, a mandate, a commission, a holy responsibility to reclaim the land for Jesus Christ, to have dominion in civil structures, just as in every other aspect of life and godliness. But it is dominion we are after, not just a voice. It is dominion we are after, not just influence. It is dominion we are after, not just equal time. It is dominion we are after, world conquest. That's what Christ has commissioned us to accomplish. We must win the world with the power of the gospel, and we must never settle for anything less. Thus, Christian politics has as its primary intent the conquest of the land, of men, of families, of institutions, of bureaucracies, of courts and governments for the kingdom of Christ. Now that's taken from The Changing of the Guard, Biblical Principles for Political Action by George Grant. And it's published in 1987 by Dominion Press. Now those are the three quotes that Bruce Gourley opens his article with. And as I said before, the title of the article is American Theocracy. Who is trying to turn America into a theocracy? Here's how he continues the article. Some Christians do not like democracy. As Betty Fisher, director of Kids in Ministry International and founder and director of Kids on Fire Summer Camp in North Dakota, noted in the Jesus Camp documentary, democracy is a problem because it treats everyone as equals. Therein lies the fundamental reason why Christian nationalists are striving to turn America into a theocracy. The belief that certain Christians should receive preferential treatment in America and control the judicial system. What do they view as the greatest obstacles in elevating Christians to elite ruling status? Pluralism and secular humanism. Who are these Christians who would replace democracy with theocracy? Firstly, the theocratic movement assumes a variety of nuances and labels, including Christian theocracy, or Christian reconstructionism, or Christian dominionism, or dominion theology and theonomy. Theonomy is the broadest of the terms, positing rule by God's law, the Old Testament law, which itself is a foundation of theocracy. In general, Christian dominionism and dominion theology are overarching constructs demanding the enforced rule of God over the world, thus intersecting with theocratic properly. Christian theocracy, Christian reconstructionism in turn, are the specific concrete manifestations of the rule of God and God's law in government and in society. Theocracy or reconstructionism does not necessarily mean that clerics rule or reign over government, but more typically is expressed in civil Christian leaders allied with clergy in the enforcement of God's law, the Old Testament laws, upon a nation or state at large. The colonial theocracies in America were an example of the type of government. Today, the ideological founders and leaders of these related movements are those who are today pushing the agenda. Rojas Rushdoony, Francis Schaeffer, Gary North, Gary DeMar. These are some of those men. The origins of Christian Reconstructionism are traced to Orthodox Presbyterian Pastor Rushdoony's 1959 publication, What is Called by What Standard? And he ultimately wrote another book entitled The Institutes of Biblical Law, and that was published in 1973. So now I hope you're getting the picture almost immediately. There are these men who are pushing a very serious agenda, and they have a serious objective here. And they're willing to use any government, any administration, for that matter, any political party, as long as they're able to reestablish what they call the Christianity of this nation, and by virtue of that, the Christianity of the world. Let me read a little bit more of the article for you. It says here, many leaders among today's religious right, although certainly not all, have embraced Christian Reconstructionism. Many conservative Christians at large advocate theocratic principles in a quest to conquer America, convinced that the United States was founded as a Christian nation and now needs to return to her Christian heritage. Pseudo-historian David Barton, through his Wall Builders organization, has perhaps done the most to propagate the myth of America's founding as a Christian nation. The theocratic movement is based on historical falsehoods. For example, the erroneous claim that most of America's founding fathers were evangelical Christians, and a belief that Old Testament laws should apply to American governance. How can one distinguish Christian theocrats from the larger religious right? Look for certain code languages and phrases, such as biblical worldview, or Christian worldview, or reconstruction, or dominionist, or theonomy. In addition, phraseology such as protecting America's moral compass, or preserving America's family values, is often coded language utilized by theocratic-leaning organizations and individuals. How are Christian theocrats spreading their views? In addition to private Christian schooling, Christian homeschooling is one of the primary avenues of teaching dominionism and Christian theocracy. The Christian homeschool movement is led by the National Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Even otherwise seemingly respectful Christian homeschool organizations are actively advocating theocratic views. For example, the Georgia Home Education Association, headlined Reconstructionist founder Gary DeMar at their 2007 annual conference. Note the many homeschool-related entities that are listed all over the world. In addition, journalist Jeff Charlet offers an intriguing and well-researched inside look at a secretive fundamentalist group called The Family, a high-level and political cadre of militant, capitalistic, elite fundamentalists with fascist foundations who for decades have quietly manipulated politicians and political parties and worked alongside some of the greatest mass-murdering dictators of all time in an effort to effect theocracy and unregulated free market economic worldwide. Charlet's particular contribution to the discussion on Christian theocracy is his documentation of the marriage of unfettered capitalism to religious fundamentalism. In short, the elite fundamentalists and their capitalist gospel that Charlet identifies set the tone and arrange the playing field for popular expressions of fundamentalism. Well, that's just a piece of that article. And I'm sure you'll find it rather intriguing if you ever get a chance to take a look at it. It's BruceGurley.com's website, and he asked the question, American theocracy, who is trying to turn America into a theocracy? And of course, then when you read the article, you will discover that it is those people that we were talking about, the Dominionists, the Reconstructionists, and those individuals. Before we close, I'd like to share a part of an article here that reveals something about a young man that you've probably seen on television. His name is Josh Hawley. He is a Republican, a new Republican senator. He's one of the ones who showed up in a picture holding up his fist in approval for some of those guys who ended up in the Capitol building on January the 6th, Wednesday, January the 6th, 2021. And I found it rather intriguing that there was an article about him last year, rather 2 years ago now, on July the 22nd, 2019. The writer of that article is Ian Milhiser, M-I-L-H-I-S-E-R. And the article is found in the Think Progress website. Again, the date of the article is July the 22nd, 2019. The writer of the article is Ian Milhiser, M-I-L-H-I-S-E-R. It's found in the Think Progress website. And the title of the article is "A GOP Senator Just Laid Out His Blueprint for Theocratic Segregationism." Let me give you the title again. "A GOP Senator Just Laid Out His Blueprint for Theocratic Segregationism." And here's what some of that article says. The frustrating thing about Senator Josh Hawley is that he so often walks right up to the edge of an excellent idea, presenting a compelling case that he's identified a problem that demands a solution, and then suddenly offers a completely ridiculous solution or nothing at all. Such was the case at the National Conservatism Conference, which took place in Washington, D.C. last week. Now, last week would have been in July 2019, okay? Railing against the impact of globalization on many American workers, Hawley attacked the goal of a global consumer economy, and he said it intended to provide an endless supply of cheap goods, most of them made with cheap labor overseas and funded by American dollars. Too many American workers, Hawley accurately notes, are left with flat wages, with lost jobs, with declining investment and declining opportunities. America leaves behind workers without specialized skills. We don't make things here anymore, at least not the kind of things a normal person with a fancy degree can build with his hands. It's a similar grievance in the age of Trump, but it's also not a frivolous one. If you want to understand why so many American white working class abandoned liberal democracies and rallied behind a racist populist president, you'll find part of the explanation in the elephant curve. Broadly speaking, the elephant curve reflects the distribution of economic growth as borders open to trade. The bargain inherent in free trade is that the entire world's economy is lifted by the open exchange of goods, but this growth is unevenly distributed. The global upper middle class, that is, working class individuals in wealthy nations, take it on the chin as less skilled jobs move to poorer nations. Meanwhile, the global middle class and the very wealthy benefit tremendously. And let me pause and say this. This is a tremendous point. It is true. Because once American corporate heads discovered that they would have to pay higher wages to American workers, they simply moved their factories overseas, moved their factories to Mexico, moved some factories to China. And of course, by the time they did that, they could pay little or nothing to the people who were working in China. And then when you came and asked them for a job, they would tell you, well, you know, we can't compete with China. What they're not telling you is it's not China that you're competing with. It's their factories in China that they no longer are willing to build here in this country, because they'll have to pay you $10 to $15 an hour, or perhaps more than that, when in China they can pay $1.50 per day for that matter. All right? So the point that he starts out making is a solid point. It has a basic fundamental truth. But of course, says the article, Holly does not have a solution. The only fully fleshed out idea mentioned in Holly's speech that offers even a modicum of help to the working class is a proposal, in the words of Holly to the press, to allow job training, apprenticeship, and certification programs to be eligible to receive Pell Grant dollars. It's an echo of previous proposals that treat job training as a panacea for communities that often have no jobs to offer even highly skilled workers. Holly's speech is less a menu of solutions for struggling workers than it is an attack on the very idea that policy is the right place to look for solutions. So Holly describes a nation much like the dystopia imagined in the Hunger Games, where wealthy coastal elites prey on the wide swath of Americans living in the middle. But his solution is less policy-driven than it is cultural. We must work to raise up a generation united in a common love for our distinctive achievements as a people, the senator proclaims. We must teach our children who we are without apology, and we must honor the claims of kinship and the covenant of marriage. America's enemies, in Holly's vision, are not external. They are a fifth column of cosmopolitans. He uses that word over and over again, a word that often plays a starring role in anti-Semitic hate speech. At the very least, his vision is those in this country who need to change their cultural background. And of course, he's moving in the direction of Christianity. It is clear what he is aiming at here. He wants to establish a cosmopolitan theocracy that allows for only a kind of culture that allows for the labor to be inclusive in all of what is done here. And of course, if you read the article, you will find it rather compelling. He talks about a Christian vision of kingdom politics. As a matter of fact, he's written a piece called A Christian Vision for Kingdom Politics, in which Holly writes that government serves Christ's kingdom's rule. This is its purpose, and that Christians' purposes in politics should be to advance the kingdom of God. Now, you notice that his solution has nothing to do with the problem that he's describing. The original problem that he is describing has sound truth in that most of the corporate entities in the United States of America has moved their factories overseas. But his solution is kingdom politics. And of course, he continues to do that even to this day. But he is not alone in this vision. By no means is he alone. And you and I need to understand that this is an interesting connection that we see between most of the men that we have now in the Senate and in the House, along with so many others. This is one of the reasons why there has been so much quiet during the Trump presidency, because he embraced their agenda and allowed them to push forward. That second article that I was just reading from, and I would encourage you to read the whole thing, it's quite long. It's found in the Think Progress website. It's published on July the 22nd, 2019. And the title of the article is A GOP Senator Just Laid Out His Blueprint for Theocratic Segregationism. And the original article that we read for you, that was found in BruceGorley.com's website, American Theocracy, Who is Trying to Turn America into a Theocracy? You know the direction in which we're heading. For God has warned us concerning this. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12 says that this nation will cause the entire world to worship the first beast. Are we ready? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless, that you continue to protect us, that you have warned us and continue to warn us. We ask that you would give us that which is necessary so that we might walk according to your will and be protected thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, January the 21st, 2021.